some folks out there doing a lot of great things, and one of them is on the line with us this morning. His name is Eric Weinmayer, who's written the book called No Barriers, A Blind Man's Journey to Kayak the Grand Canyon. Now, Eric also has climbed Mount Everest. He's written a book about that. I'm not sure. You know, Eric, I might have spoken with you in the past about your other book, when you climbed Mount Everest or maybe the Seven Summits.
I think that's the case.
But because I'm familiar a little bit, you have an organization called No Barriers, which is sort of a little bit of the title with this particular book. Let's talk about your reason for doing this. What drives you to do sort of an activity like this that even sighted people sometimes may have difficulty doing?
Well, it really begins when I came down from Everest. I was pretty crushed. You know, your legs are just beat down and your face is like a reptile from all the windburn and sunburn. And I got down below the mountain and PVR team leader said, he kind of pulled me aside and he said, "Don't make this the greatest thing you ever do." And it was, at the time, I was like, whoa, you know, let me go home and relax a little bit before you give me that advice. And it turned out to be the greatest thing anyone could have ever said to me, because it set up the next 16 years responding to that challenge. Like, you know, a lot of us have successes, and, you know, you don't stop there and just pound your chest and say, okay, and I'm going to camp the rest of my life. How do you figure out how to continue to use that as a springboard to launch you to new places? So No Barriers is really about that journey, you know, of what happens next.
How did you decide you needed or wanted to go down the Colorado River?
Well, you know, when you're in mountains, you know, you're thinking about everything else you might be doing. You're cold and miserable and smelly. And rivers were pretty intriguing, you know, and I didn't really understand rivers. They're so different from mountains. And so my friend said, "I'll teach you how to roll a kayak when you get home." And it was, I learned how to do a combat roll. And I got kind of intrigued by rivers. As a blind person, you know, you can't really just watch video of these things and understand them. So I've always believed that to really understand things and be able to experience life fully, you want to put yourself in the middle of it. And so I wanted to understand rivers. I love natural places. And when you're in these rivers like the Colorado, you're in the gauntlet to some of the most incredible whitewater in the world. But also it's very sensory. Like, you can hear the rock walls above you a mile high. You can touch the walls. You can hear the echo of the rapids bouncing off the rock walls. It's really, really cool.
Are you able to anticipate, as somebody who could see the whitecaps or some other things coming up, you can anticipate it? How, as somebody who can't, what is it that you are able to do so that you are sort of in control of what you're doing?
Well, you can learn to navigate and understand that landscape of the river. It's really hard to do when you're blind, because you get knocked over all the time and you roll up and you're sometimes facing upriver. You're not sure at first. So, yeah, no, there's definitely... It's not as easy as seeing, but you can begin to discern and hear and like be able to identify things with your ears. But I have a team as well behind me, so it's not only what I'm experiencing under my boat, but it's my friends are yelling at me via these high-tech communication systems that communicate in relative real time. So they're saying hard left or charge, which means, you know, charge right into that wave because you're about to get hammered. And in a way, you're not in control. You're riding at the energy of the river, at the pace of the river. So you're making a couple hard moves, and then you just cannot fight the river. You just ride that energy and assert your own control every now and then.
Mountain climbing has its certain pace to it. Obviously, I guess riding on the rapids, the river does too. Explain that a little bit, you know, having prepared for it. And is it like waiting in line for a roller coaster, all this 2 hours ride for a 2 minute roller coaster ride? Explain a little bit about that, I guess.
Yeah, there's, you know, so you're in a, you know, a lot of the Grand Canyon is flat. So you paddle through these flat sections, maybe a mile of flat, and then, you know, it's nice and calm. And then you just enter the insanity of a rapid. And that rapid maybe only lasts a minute. It's not very long, but it's a minute of just full-on reacting and responding to the craziest things happening to you. You're cartwheeling 10 feet in the air as you know, sometimes, and flipping over and then getting, sucked into these giant whirlpools and holes, and you have to kind of be patient and wait for the moment when that energy of the river releases you. So for me, being sort of a, I guess, type A personality, being a part of rivers was a good lesson for me, because I realized that you're not in control in your life. There are these forces that are bigger than you. And, you know, honestly, I mean, blindness was like that, you know. And so, you know, your life is a lot of a lesson about what you can influence and what you can't, you know, what you let go of. And a river teaches you that lesson. It's in your face.
You mentioned how you have a team around supporting you. Talk about your family support. What do they think about what you do?
Well, my wife knows that I really am not a like a blind evil Knievel, if anyone even remembers him. I'm not like some kind of crazy daredevil. I surround myself with a great team, and I have a lot of systems and high-tech communication systems. And I've trained for the Grand Canyon for 6 years. You know, I wanted to flourish in that environment. I didn't want to just survive it, you know. So yeah, there's a ton of planning. And you, through all that, you kind of minimize the risk. And, you know, so that's why I feel like it's an acceptable amount of risk for me. And my wife, she usually supports the things I do. Sometimes she says, that's a dumb idea.
Eric, you've climbed the seven summits. You've done the Grand Canyon now. Is there a what's next?
Well, I'm really careful about that. You know, I write in the No Barriers book, you know, I didn't want to just, like, be the next blind guy that gets launched out of a cannon, you know, or I don't want to be some blind stuntman, you know, just taking more risk and doing more dangerous things. I wanted to have meaning and fulfillment in my life. You know, where do you go with these great adventures? And so growing No Barriers has been really exciting, because what it is, you know, working with people with challenges. And when I say challenges, that's kind of all of us. It's people with fear and anxiety, and kids who are a little bit lost and looking for purpose, and soldiers who come back from conflicts and they're sort of lost and feeling isolated and know they're stuck and want to get out of that, all the way to people who have physical challenges. So it's a physical challenge as well as people with invisible challenges. And in a way, those barriers tie us together, and we kind of yearn to break through them. And so I figured, you know, let's find the commonalities. Let's find the glue that connects us together. And, you know, I think America needs that right now. We need some glue, and this is certainly it.
Maybe this is a sexist comment on my part. Is this sort of a guy thing, though, or is there a lot of women that sort of embrace this same type of an attitude or this challenge that you see that you...
No, I think that's a great question. And No Barriers has never meant go climb Everest or kayak the Grand Canyon. Absolutely not. We have people that come to our events. They've struggled with pain management. You know, they got blown up or hurt, and they're just looking for alternative ways to manage their pain through, like, yoga or therapy or, you know, acupuncture or whatever. I had a person who came to one of our events, and he hadn't walked down a set of stairs in 2 years. And we fit him with these special trekking poles that had really stable platforms, and he walked down a set of stairs and he bawled at the bottom, and he said, "This is my Everest." So, no, it's not at all about adrenalized sports. It's really about just what are those big and small barriers that we want to commit to breaking through in our lives.
In some ways, though, you're kind of like if you're on the edge, you kind of do things that you see from an extreme, sometimes life-threatening situations, climbing a mountain, going through in water, but yet there's something probably that you can learn for that you apply to a everyday life, just existing, just getting around your home, that type of a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And, you know, you do these big adventures and you can rise the occasion, but then, you know, like, I'll be talking on the phone in my house and walk into the wall. So, yeah, life is a lot harder than the mountains and the rivers,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, it's all that planning, though, that makes all that other stuff work well. And it's also something that brings attention to something like this. Look at your book, No Barriers, Blind Man's Journey to Kayak the Grand Canyon. You also got the Touch the Top of the World. If people want to find out about No Barriers or your books, where's a good place to get in touch?
They're everywhere. They're online. They're in bookstores. The book came out last week. It's been fun. I had to take a year off of climbing to write it. It was sort of torture writing because it's sort of like therapy. But anyway, it should be everywhere. And if you go into a bookstore and they don't have it, storm out and tell them this bookstore is really awful.
Well, how you know, you write a book. How has been the challenges of doing radio interviews and talking with people and getting your point across? Is that a different type of a barrier for some folks too?
Yeah, especially these days where there's so much political turmoil, you know, and it sucks up all the airwaves and it's important stuff for sure. But I just hope people don't forget this no barriers message, you know, because like last summer I climbed a peak. We had all these people with different challenges. One guy was had a bone and muscle disorder, and we put him in something, this really cool innovation called an action tracker. It's like a tank that has this little motor, and he cranked up the mountain with this thing, and then it ran out of battery life. So about 150 yards from the summit, he said, I was like ready to say, okay, let's just call it here. This is our summit. And he said, no, I want to get out and crawl. And the next half an hour, he crawled. He left a lot of blood and skin, but he crawled through the rocks all the way to the summit. And I just hope people, you know, don't forget those kind of people, you know, those people that, you know, do make America great. And those people are right under our noses, and we should celebrate it.
So, well said. We appreciate your time this morning, Eric Weinmayer, the author of the book No Barriers, A Blind Man's Journey to Kayak the Grand Canyon. Appreciate your time and your message this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.